Hello, everybody. It is Friday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, Assistant Sports Editor for Multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined by Ray Fittipaldo, our Steelers insider, reacting to the first round of the NFL draft Thursday night. Ray, you were over at the Steelers facility. We didn't get a chance to have you on our live stream over at North Shore Tavern, so I wanted to give you a chance to take a victory lap because you were the one person on the staff who nailed the Troy Fa'utanu pick. So let's just get your quick reactions before we get into it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Fa'utanu was always going to be someone who was in the mix for the Steelers. He checked several boxes for them. You know, I think number one, as we went along in this process and we kind of figured out where the Steelers were, you know, a veteran quarterback now, you made some big moves in free agency on defense. It made all the sense in the world for them to get somebody like Fa'utanu who can come in and play right away as a rookie. So that's one box that he checked. And, you know, the other ones, you know, Omar Khan was upfront about it last night at his news conference right after the pick. This is a team that wants to be built through the trenches. And the offensive and defensive lines are important. And specifically, the offensive line is important just because of where the Steelers are right now in their rebuilding of that unit. And then lastly, Andy Weidel loves Polynesians and Hawaiians. I mean, just take a look at the Steelers roster, all kinds of guys that Andy and Omar have brought in over the last year or two who are of Polynesian descent. So when you add it all up, you know, that's kind of was my thinking on that when I made the pick a few days ago. And fortunately, it turns out I was correct.
Got some more questions for Ray here in a second. Just want to thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, Pella Windows and Doors. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Ray, do you think that Fa'utanu is ultimately the tackle that they wanted and not just the tackle that was available to them? Because obviously the tackles were flying off the board on Thursday night. Is he the guy they were zeroed in on from the start, you think?
Yeah, I mean, they had Fa'utanu among their top 10 picks on their board. So when a guy like that slides to 20, that's great news. And, I think you can't overlook what happened last night. You have six quarterbacks go in the top 12. I mean, that was tremendous for the Steelers. I mean, not many years do six quarterbacks come off the board and push really good players like Fa'utanu down to teams such as the Steelers. So first time since 1983 that six quarterbacks went in the first round. And, you know, for it to unfold that way for the Steelers was awesome. You know, they also had their eye on Talese Fuaga from Oregon State. He went relatively early. I think he went six or eight picks before they picked. They also liked Amarius Mims, who went number 18 to the Bengals. But, yeah, for them to get a guy who was top 10 on their board, that's a home run for them every time.
Do you think any serious consideration was ever given to Quinyon Mitchell? I think a lot of people were surprised he fell as low as he did, that he was available to the Steelers. Obviously, there is a need at cornerback, so I just wanted to give you a chance to address Mitchell because I know he's a guy you like really liked too.
Yeah, I know there was that report from Tony Pauline probably three or four days ago that the Steelers were interested in trading up for Mitchell, perhaps as high as number 12 to the Broncos, but obviously they didn't feel that strongly about him. If they felt that strongly about him, you know, they would have made that move, or they could have just stood pat and taken him, you know, at that point. So, you know, when you look back on it, Adam, 14 offensive linemen came in for visits. I go back to the Senior Bowl when I saw Mike Tomlin interacting with all those guys down there, really hands-on with them. A lot of those guys that they were considering were at the Senior Bowl. So it was a great year for them to go down and get to know some of those guys. So for me, it was always, I think, going to be an offensive lineman. And I think day two today, that's where you'll see a corner, a receiver, maybe even a center with their three picks starting tonight at 7 o'clock.
I want to talk about how things might work out here logistically, just because we saw Broderick Jones kind of sit last year for the beginning of the season. Then he comes in, plays right tackle. Dan Moore plays on the left because that's where he's more comfortable. Do you think Fa'utanu is going to be a day one right tackle that allows you to move Broderick Jones immediately? Do you think Broderick Jones is going to take the reps in the offseason program and training camp at the left side? Or are they going to have to compensate for Fa'utano needing a little bit of a learning curve himself and maybe leave Broderick on the left and Dan Moore leave Broderick on the right and Dan Moore on the left until, you know, Fa'utano gets figured out?
Yeah, that's a great question, Adam. And Mike and Omar were posed that question last night. They didn't commit to Fa'utano playing left or right. So, you know, they probably have some kind of an idea inside those front offices what's going to happen. One thing I keep going back to is Omar said at the combine they would like to move Jones to the left side sooner rather than later. And to me, Fa'utano is the type of athlete who can make that move. I know he played mostly left tackle at Washington. I know he played a little bit of guard too, but if he can make that transition, if he can go to the right side, I think it makes all the sense in the world to put Jones on the left side. And one difference in why Fa'utano is likely to be a day one starter as opposed to Jones last year. Jones last year was an underclassman coming out. I think he was 21. Fa'utano is 23. He's going to turn 24 during the season. So he is ready to play now. I would be surprised, and I know they're not going to hand it to him in OTAs, but I would be surprised if by September 1st, Fa'utano is not a starter for the Steelers.
Interesting. How does Fa'utano fit with Arthur Smith's offense specifically? Because I think that's an important question, just given how much they believe in the run. And to what degree is he a scheme fit with this team, maybe compared to some of the other guys that we talked about through this whole process?
Yeah, super athletic. So you know that you know, he can get up on the outside and do everything they want to do in the run game. Really good run blocker. That's going to be a strength of his. So when you look at it, Broderick Jones as well. I mean, it's not like they have one guy who's a great pass protector and isn't a good run blocker. I mean, these guys are equally efficient at both. And we'll see if Jones can improve a little bit when he moves back over to the left side as a pass protector. He struggled a little bit over there as a rookie. I don't think that was that was a surprise. You know, young guys coming into the league sometimes have a little bit of a hard time their rookie seasons. But, you know, Fa'utano is so athletic. He'll be a good pass protector too. So it's a really good fit for the Steelers. Arthur Smith likes to run the football. They are going to be built to run the football. And Fa'utano is another piece to that mix.
I want to give you a chance to address his versatility. There's a lot of people on social media speculating, oh, maybe he's not going to play tackle, even though Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan insisted last night that he is. You know, I'll pose the question this way. I think it's pretty well set that he's going to be a tackle in 2024. But do you ever foresee a circumstance where the Steelers have a chance to get a right tackle they like and they could slide Fa'utano inside? It's a lot of that could be predicated on what happens tonight, whether they're able to get the center that we've been talking about from the start. Just give me your thoughts on his versatility, because I know that's, you know, a perk when we're talking about these guys in the lead up to the draft. Now that he's here, we're all in a rush to say, you know, to kind of pigeonhole him. How do you view how that fits into his equation?
Yeah, I mean, he could be just as good at guard. And I know he wants to play tackle. I think everyone who is a tackle wants to stay there because, you know, that's viewed as the more athletic position. And once you kind of go inside, you're really not going to go back outside as a starter. Once teams kind of see that you fit inside, that's probably where you're going to stay. It's interesting. It's really not about money anymore because guards are getting paid like tackles too. So I don't think Fa'utano would blink an eye if he is asked to move inside. He said last night he'll play wherever. And it's interesting, you know, James Daniels is going into the last year of his contract. He is only signed through 2024. Isaac Seumalo is signed for two more years. But, you know, I think Isaac is, what, 31, 32 years old. He's no spring chicken. So there is going to be a need for the Steelers to have a starting guard probably within the next year or so. But I do agree with you, Adam. I think he's probably going to start a tackle this season, and then we'll see what happens in 2025.
What are your expectations for day two, Ray? Do they need one of these centers? Zach Frazier, Jackson Powers-Johnson still on the board? Let me ask the question this way. How much do they need one of these centers? Do you foresee them trading up to grab one while they're still available? Do you think that they can sit and wait for maybe one of those guys to drop into their lap later on?
Yeah, I don't know that they have plans to trade up for either of those guys. I think if something presented itself, you know, if they were – maybe if they're within four or five picks and they say, hey, we can really pull this off, maybe they would do it. But I don't think they're going to make a big move to get either of those guys. You know, if they don't, they also brought in Hunter Norzad, who was kind of like a third or a fourth round type of a center. You know, I think they believe he has a future in the NFL too. So, you know, I think it could be Frazier or Jackson Powers Johnson in the second round, Adam, but they also need a corner. They need a starting slot corner. The other outside corner, Dante Jackson, is only signed through 2024. So that's a big need. And of course, receiver. We haven't even talked about receiver. They dumped Deontay Johnson last month and they need somebody to start opposite George Pickens too. So there's a lot of different avenues they could go here in round two. And I think it's fortunate for them. That extra third round pick that they picked up in that Kenny Pickett deal. I know there's not a huge difference there between where they were. I think they went from 120 to 98. So only 20 picks, but I think that could make a big difference tonight as you try to address those three positions.
I want to talk about receivers specifically through that lens, Ray. We saw Ricky Pearsall go off the board late. We saw Xavier Leggett go off the board late. Are you at all worried about the Steelers getting a receiver, given that it seemed like there was kind of a late run? We were all, you know, kind of punch drunk on the Fa'utano, you know, selection to kind of address it. But it does seem that there's a bit of a run on receivers ongoing.
Yeah, and the two guys the Steelers had in for visits, so you know they had their eyes on both of those guys. Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky is still available. He was in for a visit. Roman Wilson from Michigan, he was not in for a visit, but they went to his pro day and they were really high on him at the Senior Bowl. So that's two guys to keep an eye on here on day two, Corley and Wilson. You know, a couple of others, Luke McCaffrey was in for a visit. He's probably more of a third round guy. Maybe at number 84, they could grab him. But yeah, you knew there was going to be a run on receivers at some point. The three went off the board, I think, in the top 10 or 12. And then, you know, you saw Brian Thomas come off and then a couple there late, including Leggett and Pearsall. So hopefully for the Steelers' sake, there's not another big run on day two. But I have a feeling, Adam, that there's going to be a few good ones come off the board before the Steelers do pick at 51.
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm going to be watching for on our Post-Gazette Sports NFL Draft live stream. We're doing it again tonight from Mike's Beer Bar. Hopefully this is kind of the marathon night, Ray. It starts earlier, it ends later. I think we did 5+ hours last year on the live stream. So hopefully we find time to get Ray on there, react to the picks as they're happening. If you're not already, subscribe, please, so you can check it out. If you have a chance, come down to Mike's Beer Bar. Get your steak on the stone. We'd love to see you. Come say hi. And looking forward to it. Ray, thanks for joining me. We'll talk to you all again in just a few hours.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.